recording has started.
And go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Start. I want to look at the topic of prayer in the church epistles today. Not an exhaustive look at prayer in the church epistles, but just a couple of things that I want to look at. I'm sure that if you ask people their opinion on prayer in the world or amongst believers that we know, that what their opinion or thoughts are about prayer, you'll get all kinds of different responses. Prayer is a pretty wide topic in the Word of God. For example, if I was to ask you the question, why do you pray, or why should you pray? You might have a lot of answers as to why. I thought of one very, very simple answer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because, you know, we can have a lot of opinions about prayer, but what's important is, what does God say about the topic? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, very simply, it says, pray without ceasing. So a good response to why we should pray is because God says we should pray. Now, it certainly wouldn't be something that man could make up and say, okay, I think I'll just pray to God and he'll answer my... Well, God told us, you can pray. He wants us to pray. That's why we pray, because God asks us to. Just like anything else we do from God's Word, the simple reason is because the Word of God says that we should pray. And now, I'm thinking about that, there are a lot of examples of prayer in the Bible, which gives you an understanding of how important that field is to a believer's life. You can look at a lot of examples in the Old Testament where, and I just thought of some that blessed me. Remember the great prayer of Solomon at the temple? There's a couple of chapters of a wonderful prayer that he prays to God at the dedication of the temple. There's prayers of the prophets. Remember Elijah prayed? It didn't rain for 3 years. This is an example of prayer. Prayers of Isaiah and Hezekiah when Assyria attacked, the first recorded instance of joint prayer in the Bible. They prayed together for the protection of Israel. And Jehoshaphat and the attack from Moab and Ammon. Remember where they all got together in the field and they all held hands and the children were all standing and they said, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. So many examples of where man asking for God's intervention in his life. Nehemiah, an entire book, is a book about prayer and the walk by prayer of a man. How about the prayer of Hannah, which led to the birth of Samuel? What if she hadn't prayed? Would Samuel have been born? It says it was an answer to her prayer. So what was Samuel a wonderful man? Did he bless people? What a wonderful answer to prayer. And then you can look at the Gospels. There are many examples of prayer in the Gospels. Jesus Christ prayed all night in prayer before he chose the 12 apostles. Maybe it was a weighty decision. So if we have to make a weighty decision, maybe prayer might be a good thing to think about. Remember, they actually came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gave them an example that's been vainly repeated around thousands of churches and all around the world. All he was telling them to pray with great humility to God, to recognize that God's love for him and reverence for him comes first, and that the purpose of all prayer is to see God's will be done, not our will be done. So he gave them an example of prayer. Then they told him about, don't be like those guys who want to pray and be seen by everybody. Remember that? The whole, gives an example of, oh, look how wonderful we are. We pray so often. You know, so there's a lot. All this to say, there's a lot in the Bible about prayer. So again, that should be enough for us to recognize that, boy, this is a pretty important thing that God has set up for his people. Romans chapter 1. Now, let's look at a few references of prayer in the epistles, the church epistles, and to see how maybe things changed even with respect to prayer a little bit. And you'll see that because there are truths that God made available to the body of Christ that were not made available under the gospel administration or under the Old Testament that were not available. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This is Paul the Apostle. Without ceasing, make mention of you always in my prayers. Why? Making a request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. That's what he was praying about. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. His prayer for them, and you'll see this as a common theme of prayer in the church epistles, that people are established in the doctrine of Christ Jesus and everything that Christ is to the believer. And that was not available before Christ was promised in Genesis 3. But it's something that's certainly true. So, you know, maybe that's something that's important for believers in this administration to understand, is all that Christ has accomplished. You'll see a lot of prayers in the church epistles along those lines. Romans chapter 8. Again, another thing that definitely was not available until the work of Christ had been accomplished for us. In Romans chapter 8. So, you know, prayer itself has taken on a whole new light in the administration of grace of God that we currently live in, the administration of the mystery. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. This word is singular. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought or as we should. Now, I, for one, am happy to admit the absolute truth of that for my life. Now, at some point, I have no idea what to pray for. I might have an idea of what I would like, but I may not have a good understanding at that time of what God's will might be in that situation. Well, thankfully, God has covered for this. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, talking about speaking in tongues. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's a verse 28 you see on billboards all the time, right? Everything works together for God, for good. Without recognizing the context here is believers recognizing that the Spirit they have knows better, but God knows better what needs to be done in a situation than we do. So when we pray together for one another, and because it says make it intercession, doesn't it? For you and for the saints. When we do all that together, then all things work together for good. That's the context of Romans chapter 8:28. And here's the leverage of prayer, and let's go to 1 Corinthians while we're here, that definitely was not available before Jesus Christ had redeemed man. And I don't know about you. I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way, but isn't that comfort to know that you can speak in tongues when you don't know what to pray for? Like, you know, we're not even going to look at the other aspects of speaking in tongues, like praise and all the other things it does. But what a blessing. And to know that, well, it's covered. You know, I often wonder what David prayed about when he prayed for hours on end, or the night watches, or in the morning times, or even Jesus Christ all night. Have you ever tried that? Without tongues, it's very difficult, isn't it? But with tongues, you know, what a blessing, what a lever of prayer. In 14:14 it says, for if I pray in an unknown, or pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. This lines up exactly with Romans chapter 8, which talks about groanings which could not be uttered, that we don't know what we should pray for. Here it talks about, you know, I don't know by my understanding what we said. It's exactly what Romans chapter 8 was talking about. And verse 17 also says it's a way to give thanks well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, like having the ability to speak in tongues for our family members or for one another, it's also a great way to be at peace. You know, if you're all worried about something, well, you know, we know tongues is there. It's available to take the burden off your heart, because you can pray perfectly exactly for what the situation. Then, because the Word says it prays perfectly and it makes intercession, you have every right to be at peace about the outcome. Because God's the one who says that it intercedes for the other, for one another. So if I know, you know, like we know Patrick's where, I don't know what Patrick's in right now. I don't know where he is. Generally, I don't know where he is, but specifically. Or, you know, anybody else, even Doug on the phone lines, or Brenda, or Peter. I know all the situations in life that can come our way. Wow, speaking tongues, and we know intercession is made. And we can be at peace. And you can enjoy your day, live in peace, not live in worry or fret or concern or fear and all the other things that come our way, but live in peace. You know, we ought to be the most peaceful, thankful individuals on the face of the earth, because we have the most powerful God. We heard in Mass Stations, you know, He wants to have a relationship with us. You know, He did so much for us. We should be the most peaceful people, not be fretting about this or worried about that or concerned about this. No. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." That's a pretty sad situation for Paul and the company to be in. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." And look at verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." You know what? Those guys probably had no idea what Paul and guys were going through. And yet Paul here, by revelation from God, attributes their deliverance to those people praying together for him. You know, and they had probably no idea. So you probably have no idea. Most times when you're speaking in tongues, you really have no idea. But the effect that it can have is according to exactly what God's Word says. And if God's Word says it makes intercession for us, you know, that's the whole theme of the body of Christ. We'll see in a few minutes here in a couple of verses, but the whole theme of the body of Christ working together and looking outward towards each other as opposed to ourselves is a really big theme in the church epistles. To be more concerned about one another and the situations and needs of each other than our own needs. And we see that in prayer. Paul says it. You know, he prayed for them always. Every time he thought of them, he thanked God for them. And here he says he attributes their deliverance to them praying for him. And you know, so look at the Ephesians chapter 1. Here's it. A great one. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, when you read these prayers here in Ephesians, sometimes you look at your, you know, the things maybe we've prayed for in our lives sometimes, you go, wow, you know, I really didn't see the enormity and of what prayer really is to the believer. You know, it's one thing for me to sit down and pray, oh God, thank you for my job, or I appreciate, I need help with this problem I'm having, or you know, whatever. But you know, that comes nowhere near the prayers that are recorded here in Ephesians. You know, we did Ephesians this year and we looked at a lot of this, but that's not to say we should forget what we looked at and the impact it should have in our day-by-day lives. Ephesians 1:15. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," again, the whole idea of saints working for one with another, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Saying what? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Did you ever pray in the morning to understand what the hope of God's calling is? You know, well, the Word of God says this is what Paul prayed for the saints. Why can't I ask for an understanding of the hope of his calling, to the point that it excites me every day to live for him? Now that's our, you know, not that any prayer is worse than any other prayer, but for me to pray and thank God for, you know, my hangnail that I have today and the healing, and thinking about the hope of his calling in Christ, you can do all that, but maybe sometimes we don't get to understand the kind of prayers that are available to us, the kind of understanding that God would have us to have in the church epistles. And here we get a little inkling of it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you ever just sit up one night or in the morning and just sit down for a while and say, God, I really would like to understand what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us is. What does that mean? How does that, thinking it through. There's a prayer. It's a prayer. So God, if Paul could pray this, can you pray similar prayers? ask for the same understanding? Yeah, in fact, he was praying it for the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? No question there are needs in the body of Christ, even amongst our fellowship. There's needs in the body of Christ, need to see God's power be manifested consistently and regularly. And here, the Word of God says that we can pray to understand that. Well, there might be a prayer that maybe I want to invest a little bit of my time in praying to understand that power. Because if look at verse 4, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That position he has now impacts life here and life ahead in the administration coming. Maybe I want to understand that a little bit. How does it impact my life here? Had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all, gave all abilities in every believer. Maybe I want to understand that. Maybe there's a prayer I want to invest a little bit of time in every day or whenever to understand that power. So when at times to minister deliverance to somebody, that the thing you're thinking about is the power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Not the symptoms or not anything else or not the whatever, but this. And you've spent much time in prayer asking God to show you and help you understand this, so when you go to do whatever you got to do with the Spirit of God, you understand God is showing you some things. Well, why not pray? What a great prayer. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we could spend a lot of time on that, but I'll leave it to you to ask God for understanding. Ephesians 3:14. Again, when God, by revelation, having given Paul the apostle to write Ephesians, and he's covered all that gone in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 to this point, then he has him write for this cause, 14, because of all that, all the blessings and spiritual blessings and the direct access to God and the one new man and all those things we looked at, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You want some inner spiritual strength in your life? You want to have greater spiritual confidence in your life when you're going about the things of life? Well, you can pray and ask God that we would understand that. It's funny, this prayer kind of sounds just like the prayer read over there in Ephesians chapter 1. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. See, again, we looked at this. With all saints, it seems like to really understand the depth of this, it happens only within the context of the one body. That's when you really understand this stuff. It's not just some guy on an island sitting there on a high mountain trying to understand all the things about God. No, it's here. He says, with all saints. That's when you understand the length, the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That is fully understood in the context of the one body. How we work, we pray for one another, we intercede for one another, and we thank God for one another on every remembrance of each other, and we do this daily. That's when we start to understand these things. that God would have us to understand about prayer in the church epistle, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's even hard to read that and go, oh my God, what does that mean? Well, maybe prayer to God directly to get understanding would help us to understand what that means. God wouldn't have it written here if he didn't want us to understand it. Philippians chapter 1. Again, there's so much there we could spend time on, but again, just to whet our appetites a little bit about, you know, what the Word of God says in the church epistles about prayer. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He doesn't say there, I thank my God upon every remembrance of those people who always did good things to me. You know, doesn't say that. Just says every time you thought of the believers, you thank God. Now, there's no room in this life to carry anything that any believer might have ever done to us. There's just no time, there's no place in our hearts for it. It's not worth it. How about just carrying thankfulness? You know, as a believer, I thank God. Thank God. Thank you, God, for that believer. That's a great way to also remove any ill feelings you might have towards believers. With all saints, we're going to be together forever. Like I said, the things you do here has an impact not only in this life, but in that which is to come. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time with all believers. So why don't we just thank God? Every remembrance. Oh, yeah, thank you, Father, for them. And really appreciate all you can do for them. What a great way to live life. You live in peace. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There you again, that whole prayer to help them understand all they have in Christ for one another. Now, why don't we pray that for one another? Dale, I pray for Dale that understand all that Christ is to him. You know, he prays for me, we pray for one another, and that's how the body gets built up. That's how we all get a better understanding of all that God wants us to understand. It's interesting how he puts that in the context of one body. It really only works if we all do it together. In verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve that things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. There it is again. What he prayed? He prayed that they would understand all the blessings that are in Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. In chapter 4, you guys know this prayer. I'm sure many of us have read this countless times. Let's read it again. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There it is again. The prayer is for us to understand, and the peace that we enjoy is because of Christ Jesus. See, this prayer has taken on such a, they've just expanded in capacity and ability and understanding since the times of the Gospels and since the times of the Old Testament. God just opened up the door for us to understand. You know, he's setting up some pretty amazing things in this time that are going to prepare for the next administration concerning rulerships and authorities and things that Christ is responsible for. That God would allow us to understand that is just such an overwhelming blessing. You know, so ask him for understanding. Colossians chapter 1. A few more verses here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy as our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. It's interesting how many of the epistles start off with this. Praying always for you. Praying for you. Thanking God for you. Praying for you. You know, praying you'll be all just standing solid in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Sounds a lot like Ephesians, doesn't it? Look at the exhortation for us to understand. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's some great stuff that we can pray for ourselves or one another. Kind of really opens up our prayer life, doesn't it? There's just not enough time in the day to pray for everything that's available to pray for. Strengthened with all might, verse 11, according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There it is again. Understand all that Christ is, God's inheritance. Understand the great power he wrought in Christ. Again, in Colossians, he says it again. Now, so these are, you want to have an understanding of these things? Ask God. Pray. God, I really want to understand this. Show me what this means. In chapter 4, verse 2, let's read verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. What a great prayer. Verse 12. Buried with him. I'm in the wrong chapter, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great prayer, but the word is full of great prayers. Sorry, I wanted chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So here he says to, there's the instant in prayer, praying always. Here he says, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us. And here he asks for them to be able to speak the word. So, watching in prayer, again, something we could look at in great detail. You can watch in prayer for one another. In verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted to you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a great prayer. That, and God, by revelation here, he's called a faithful servant, a servant of Christ, faithfully prayed for them that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I will close in Ephesians chapter 6. So you get a little, again, we looked at a few verses to get a little understanding of how much God has opened up the idea of prayer. Again, prayer is all through the Old Testament, all through the Gospels as well. But here, God really opened up, and it doesn't mean that we can't pray for the things they prayed for in the Old Testament either, but some of those things. But it's interesting how God has really opened it up because of the work of Jesus Christ. And if you really want to understand the great hope that we have, which is the main reason, if not the only real reason that we can ever stand in this life, is because the Lord is coming back, and we know that. To understand all that means, and all that it means to have God have an inheritance in us, and us have an inheritance in him, and for us to understand what God has wrought in Christ, the principalities and powers, and what's going to be coming in the next administration, and how the impact of that is in this administration, and the power that we have to understand that God wrought in Christ, that is blessing us here, this administration, all those things, that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can help one another to do all these things. What a great blessing God has given to us in this administration. Ephesians 6, closing 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, all these aspects together in one verse, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, again, for all saints. And to understand that in this administration, prayer really takes on a great meaning, greater and greater meaning in light of the one body of Christ that we're part of. How we can pray for one another regularly, consistently, and see that, you know, the body of Christ just be blessed, and that we can live a life of peace and blessing as we watch for over one another in prayer. So a little bit on prayer in the church epistles and all that